You never know when death will come. But what happens 1 minute after you die? Nothingness? A strange light? Another dimension? Or eternity? Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today on Running to Win, we begin a series probing the mysteries of death. In this, the first of seven messages in his series, 1 minute After You Die, Erwin Lutzer gives us a glimpse behind the curtain.
As always, death is in the news. But it's been in the news recently because of a new book that has been written entitled The Final Exit. It's a book that teaches you how to commit suicide. After all, people today want to die with dignity. People want to know that they themselves are in control of their destiny here on earth, and nobody is going to keep them alive when they want to go. Unfortunately, the book will not only be purchased by people who are of age and who do not want extended hospital care. The book will also be purchased by a lot of people who are depressed, people who feel as if life isn't worth living, and young people who are tired of the pressures, tired of their parents. And this will give them an easy exit. You know what the problem is? That in most cases, not in all, but in most cases, when people commit suicide, when they arrive on the other side, what they are going to find there is far worse than anything they have ever endured here in this life. What a terrible, terrible, horrendous shock it's going to be when they land in eternity. Now, throughout the ages, people have always wondered about whether or not there is life after death, and there is evidence that comes from various kinds of so-called scientific or experiential strands of information. Let me give you a few. First of all, there is the world of the occult, the world of mediums. A number of years ago, I was in a library, a public library, and noticed Bishop Pike's book entitled The Other Side, and I read about half the book. I don't recommend that people read books like that, but nevertheless, I happen to. Pike's son committed suicide, and Pike wanted to get in contact with his boy because Pike noticed that things were being rearranged in his room in such a way that his boy, his dead boy, wanted his attention. For example, he'd come home and find out that the clock would stop at the very moment in which his son committed suicide, or the drapes would be pulled in a way that his boy used to pull them. And so he assumed that it was being done by his son, and so he got in contact with a medium, and the medium called up the boy, and Pike had a long discussion with his son. I don't recall all the details, but I do remember Pike asking his boy, he said, do they talk much about Jesus on the other side? And the boy said, no, Dad, we don't talk about him a whole lot here. I couldn't help but smile. Because if you ever die and land in a place where they don't talk a whole lot about Jesus, you're in the wrong place, my friend. I can tell you that. But Pike then believed, as a religious liberal who had never accepted the Bible as authoritative, Pike ended up believing that indeed, yes, there was life on the other side, and it's a relatively happy life. And his son also told him, Dad, just keep doing the best you can and you'll be okay. Pike, a gullible theologian, believed him. Isn't that tragic? Now, I'm sure that I don't need to tell you that Pike never spoke to his son, never had one word with his dead son. You see, there are demons in the world that watch us. Undoubtedly, some are assigned to us. They observe all of our activities, hoping to gain an advantage against us in a moment of time, if they have that opportunity. And those demons come to know us so well that they can actually talk about us. They know where we live. They know our history. They know our weaknesses. They know our strengths. And it is those kinds of evil spirits that are called up by spiritists, by mediums. Today, they call them channelers. and gullible people think that they're talking to the dead, and they're not talking to the dead. They're talking to demonic spirits who impersonate the dead. One of the most interesting things about Pike's book is that while he was talking to his son, suddenly, of all things, Paul Tillich shows up and begins to have a discussion with Pike. Paul Tillich had died several months before, another very liberal Protestant theologian. And Tillich showed up and had a discussion, and Pike again thought it was Tillich because he said, "I even noticed his thick German accent." Well, I want you to know that demons are able to speak through other people's vocal cords with a thick German accent. They are that smart and they are that clever. But Pike never spoke to his son. He never spoke to Paul Tillich. He was speaking to demons and believed the whole bit. Tragedy indeed. While I'm on the subject, when I was in Canada, I was interviewed some time ago on television there, and during one of the breaks, the interviewer asked me an interesting question that I wish he would have asked when the camera was rolling. We were talking about the New Age and we were talking about the occult, and he said, "What if I were to say to you that my grandmother, who's been dead for many years, the other night came into my room and sat on my bed and we had a discussion together?" He said, "What is your response to that?" I said, "First of all, I want you to know that I would believe your story. I would not say that you're crazy. I would not say that you were hallucinating. I would believe that something happened. There was an apparition and you had a discussion. But I said, what I would not believe is that you had a discussion with your grandmother." You see, sometimes we forget that there are demonic spirits who actually take the names of dead people, and people think that they're having a revelation from some person who's returned from the dead, and all that they are encountering is a spirit being that has taken the name of that person, that knows something about that person, and they are in contact with dark, occult, deceptive, evil powers. If you don't believe in haunted houses, you are uninformed. They exist. I can assure you they exist. Even scientifically, they exist. It's been proven that there are spirits in some houses. Where do those spirits come from? Are they the spirits of the dead? Of course not. A haunted house is a house in which some demons have chosen to live, and frequently when a person is himself demon-possessed and dies, some of those demons choose to stay at the point where the death occurred. And that's why you have haunted houses. In this church right now, there's a couple, I don't know if they're here today, but they do attend here regularly, so I have every reason to assume that they are. They were suddenly visited by some evil spirits in their apartment. I will not go into the details as to the manifestations, because that may just be a bit much for a public audience. But they could not understand why suddenly this assault from the hosts of hell. And then it dawned on them. The wife, her father, was a spiritist, and he had just died. And those demonic spirits now needed some place to go, and in needing some place to go, they decided to retaliate against the family. And so what you have today is a world in which people must understand the nature of demonic spirits, their incredible deception, and they will tell you anything that you really want to hear, especially things like, "Oh, Dad, all that you have to do is to keep what you're doing, and you'll be all right on the other side." Nonsense, deception, bought by gullible people who refuse to believe the Bible. Now, there's a second line of evidence that is sometimes used for life after death and what it's like on the other side. Reincarnation says that you always keep getting better and better. Now, if you're in the East, you know that there's not only evolution, but there's also devolution. You can crop up as an ant on the other side. But in Western culture, we don't like that. So the idea is that you just keep being recycled. Shirley MacLaine says it's like shooting a movie. You just keep doing it until you get it right. And you keep going around and around and around. And each time you're a little better. And the evidence for reincarnation, we're told, is overwhelming. Many years ago, I told you this story, but I need to tell it again because it fits here. Remember the woman, Shirley, that I rode with on the plane? I mean, this plane wasn't even off the ground. I think I was flying to some eastern city, and we weren't even off the ground, and I was sitting beside her, and we were already into it. She asked me what I did. I said, I'm a minister. I speak to people. She said, oh, I love to speak to people because I have the gift of healing, and I can do this, and I'm a psychic, and I'm this. And so I thought, my word, how could God in his infinite providence have arranged this more beautifully than that I should be the one to sit beside this lady? You know, God is so good sometimes, I just marvel at the wonders of his providential care. So in the middle of this, she said, I can prove reincarnation. She said, I used to dream and have visions of a house that I lived in Vermont during the 1800s. I felt like saying, surely you're old, but not that old. But anyway, she said, I lived in this house. And she said, I'd never been to the state. But she said, I saw the house. I understood where its furniture was in incredible detail. And then she says, as an adult, I finally went to the house and confirmed it. And she said, I had never been in the state before in this existence, but I lived there during the 18th century. I said, Shirley, I want you to look me in the eye. I said, I want to tell you something that will be very unambiguous and very clear. I said, you are into the spirit world and you are having communication with evil spirits. Because I said, there is no such thing as a transmigration of souls. There is a transmigration of demons. And because you are in contact with demons, they know what that house is like over there in Vermont. And I said, you are receiving information from them that you are believing and you're being deceived. And she said, absolutely not. She said, I am in contact with spirits, but not evil ones, only good ones. I said, how do you tell the difference? She said, I refuse all spirits that come to me in darkness. I receive only communication from spirits that come to me clothed in light. Do you know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14? Paul says, there are ministers of righteousness who are really ministers of unrighteousness. And he says, we should not be surprised because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And I said, surely, I want to tell you something. Not even Swedenborg, one of the greatest occultists, he agreed at the end of his life that he couldn't tell the difference between good spirits and bad spirits. He agreed that he had been deceived. And I said, I want you to know that you are also. You're a deceived woman. And I urged her to come to Christ for repentance to get her life straightened out.
Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and what a series we have begun. 1 minute after you die. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be told how you can get this series and how you can get a book by that title. But we are living in an age of occultism. Just recently, I met a woman who was deeply into the occult, speaking to the dead, all kinds of seances and what have you. And what a deliverance God wrought in her life. But it wasn't easy, but it was sure. I hope that you are warning your children about television programs that have to do with the occult. So many of them are there. And keep listening. We'll talk more about this next time.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of A Glimpse Behind the Curtain, the first message in his series, 1 Minute After You Die. Tomorrow, more about near-death experiences and how we should interpret them. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to point us toward the goal line in the race of life. One day, all of us will find ourselves in eternity. Knowing where we're going makes life's race worthwhile. Our series, 1 Minute After You Die, can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. For more of that glimpse behind the curtain, join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.